IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line, good morning, Luba. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Very well, thank you.
Good. So the first thing that that we were chatting about is there's this bloke who's come out saying that the depictions of Jesus as white needs to be destroyed because it is a form of white supremacy. I don't think he's particularly wrong around the latter part of what he's saying, certainly as it pertained to the past. But how do we deal with this sort of thing?
Yeah, I think how it comes up from time to time and never really gains traction. And I think my understanding of it, I mean, I won't say it's vast, but if you look at the depictions, say, for instance, you take the Last Supper, which would have been held in Jerusalem, the background scene would have been very kind of Roman due to the influence of the Roman Catholic Church. So you could argue and say, yes, the depictions would tend to be, I mean, if you go back at a point in time, if you had a painting of an emperor, of a king, it wasn't really that person. Someone would pose for it. So I think a lot of what Christianity has used as depictions of Jesus would probably be a male living somewhere in Italy, somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. So you could argue and say, yes, it's incorrect. It's not a correct depiction. But then having said that, what is a correct depiction? Is it important? I don't think so. But I think in part of, often in Africa, when people fight against Christianity, the view is that Christianity is a Western imposition that came with the colonial powers, and in many cases that would tend to be true. If you go to South America, you during the Inquisition, you had the church come in, the Catholic Church, and in parts of Africa, the missionaries either went before the forces or they came after, and in many cases there was a bit of an overlap in their mission, in converting the natives into Christianity. So I think there is that past that's attached to it. But I don't get preoccupied with what Jesus would have looked like. It doesn't keep me awake at night. And I think this will probably blow over as well. From time to time, it comes up and people get all worked up about it. Mm. But I think, many people would probably say that if he was a Jew living in Israel, in the ancient Near East, in the first century, he would probably be a bit darker than what an Italian would look like. Which would be Caucasian. Now, for me, that's where the discussion ends, and I don't really bother with it going beyond that. But I think when people try and work up crowds against Christianity, that's one of the first things that they would put on the table.
Right. Interesting. The message from David. David Armstrong. Thanks, David. As a Christian, agree totally that no chance of Jesus coming from the Middle East was white. Also, would just like to comment on your Howard comment about Satanism is just another religion next to Judaism, etc. First of all, to be Jewish must be one of the highest privileges on earth. Secondly, respectfully, to a Jewish person, recognizing Jesus as the Messiah, Judaism and Christianity certainly is not a religion, but a faith. Abraham was declared righteous through his faith. I've been listening to Chai for about 6 months now. Such a privilege to listen to those one of the most incredible close-knit communities and learn more about the Jewish beliefs as per the Old Testament, and just simply such real people, so faithful in spite of such blessed people, in spite of an example to all. Thank you, David. I really appreciate such a beautiful message. So on that question of Satanism, I don't really have an understanding of what it is. Is it a religion? Is it, as David says, is it some form of faith? Is it offensive? And the likelihood of me interviewing somebody like that on the show is not great. But it's an interesting conversation for me to have. Is should we, is it a problem to hear from a religion or from a faith or from whatever it is that is so totally juxtaposed to Christianity? Lube, you're a man of very real Christian faith, very steeped in religion. What is your thought on that?
I have a few problems with it, Howard. On a simple level, I would say, having heard about it, then what was one do with that information? Is it out of curiosity? Do you have to explore everything you're curious about? And my answer would be no, I don't need to explore everything I'm curious about, especially if on face value, I sense that it is wrong. If I look at this chap, his background has been a Sangoma for, I think, about 8 years. And I did a bit of research on him and read about what, you know, how he got to where he was. And that enough already for me kind of has all the clear alarm bells that being a Sangoma is something. I know, look, we're in Africa. People argue that you can't be a Christian and a Sangoma. I don't believe you can. The two can't coexist. But many people, millions of people argue you can. And I would argue that those people don't have a true understanding of the Christian faith. So would I explore it? Would I interview it? No, I wouldn't go there. You know, it's the same example I say to somebody, if I know something is false or wrong, I don't need to go into an exhaustive study to try and understand it. Because in some ways, there's the thought that says, you know, you might go poking at something and get caught up in something because somebody would say, well, try this because this chap is saying, you know, it's not a bad thing. Come try it. Come and look at it. And I think that for me becomes a danger when somebody says, look at it and try it. Also, on one level, when you start giving something airtime, in some ways you can legitimize it. I once, you know, to give you a very different example, I had a friend, I won't mention name, who was a pastor, and she had a program on a Christian radio station, and she was going to interview somebody who was in a polygamous relationship, and they were, let's say, wife number four. And she said to me, I want to interview this person. I said, why? It's a Christian radio station. Polygamy and Christianity don't exist, coexist. And she said, well, she's very senior in public profile. I do believe that she's a genuine Christian. I said, well, if she's a genuine Christian and she's in polygamy, then that's a problem for me. And I said, but think of your audience. If you interview this person to talk about their Christian beliefs, you're going to be too scared to touch on the polygamy out of respect. But your audience who listen to your show will assume that you're endorsing polygamy because you brought this person onto your show and you're interviewing them. Some of them might know that you're not for it, but you will mislead many people. So I don't have a talk show, but I always say to myself, whatever I do should not mislead somebody whose faith is perhaps a bit weaker than mine. So which is why when I deal with, you know, ancestral worship and things like that, I know they're wrong. So if a family member says to me, Luba, we've got this ceremony, this ritual, I know that my faith is stronger than that. So even if I were to eat the meat involved in that sacrifice, it would do nothing to me. But I know that there are many people who may possibly look up to me, who may think, well, if Luba's gone there, then it should be fine. So out of that fear of misleading people, I would then say, no, I wouldn't go. I know it's wrong, but I should not be seen to be even remotely close to it or, you know, looking at it or talk or being involved in it, you know, but certainly I wouldn't stand and condemn people and say they're wrong. But in this one, I think, clearly, yeah. Yes.
No, it's interesting, Howard, on that webinar that you hosted that I was on with Nechama Brody, Arthur Goldstock, we spoke about this issue of equivalence. And I think what Luba's saying kind of reminds me of that, is that not everything is an equivalence. In other words, I wouldn't have an anti-vaxxer on the show because I think they're idiots, and I don't believe that we need to give them a voice in the same way and juxtapose it against people who vaccinate. So, and by doing that, you do create a perception of equivalence, and that's really what you're saying, Luba. Howard, what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's true, but let's face it: if you didn't have idiots on your show, you wouldn't have any guests at all.
Let me get a glass of water and drink it from that conference.
Well, actually, this is where we're a bit different.
Company included.
Right. No, so I was told actually by a founder of another radio station that the reason that they have call-ins and still today have call-ins is because exactly what Howard is saying is that they treat their call-in participants, their listeners, as entertainment, and they want them to be as ridiculous as possible because they are the entertainment. I mean, I think that's classless in truth. It's on my vibe, but at least, you know, when we have a guest on the show, that's up to them, you know, how they come across, I guess.
So would you have Donald Trump on your show, Howard?
Oh, I would. I certainly would.
Of course, because you want the ratings.
Yeah. I'm just actually interested. Yes, of course you want the ratings. You don't exist without listeners. Certainly he's, you can't say that, you know, he is the guy, the leader of the United States. But would you have, and I go back to the Natura Carta, would I have them? I probably wouldn't. So, and would I have an anti-vaxxer? No, I certainly wouldn't. So that's where it becomes interesting. And I think that's what Lube is saying. Lube, if I'm not mistaken, that is kind of where you're going with that, is why give them the time?
Yes. And essentially, we're dealing with what seems like a cult. I mean, if you look at how they define it, yes. And it can be pretty dangerous too. And, you know, to give it airtime, I think is dangerous because, right. Part of you can instinctively say something is very wrong and you know, doesn't add up with this. Mm. But I'm curious what Howard will say. He's kind of sidestepped this one a bit.
Ooh. So you see, to be quite honest, I think all religions, to be quite honest, are like cults. We just because we have old religions, we think they're not. But in truth, they all have very similar backgrounds and people are entitled to worship whatever they want. You know, we say, well, the three major faiths or the four major faiths out there are legitimate. But if you go down to the actual basics, you know, we all believing in invisible things which may exist or may not exist. You know, who are we to judge someone else's belief or faith? It doesn't mean to say we need to give them a platform.
Right. Well, in fact,
absolutely entitled to believe what they want.
Yeah, I've just got a message that actually puts paid to the whole thing. This is from my wife. She says, you can tell your listeners not to worry because you most definitely will not be interviewing anyone about Satanism.
That's that on that.
So there we go. So what happened to my constitutional rights?
No, you see, those exist outside of home. Same thing I keep telling my kids, that there's a constitution outside the gate. Once you step outside the gate, there is a constitution, but once you step inside the gate, that illusion falls away, must fall away very quickly.
Right. I think in Howard's anti-nuptial contract, there's probably a clause relating to what Heidi can decide and what not.
No, it doesn't even need to be there. Yeah. There's probably a clause that says this can be amended at will. I think my wife often gives a description and says, the husband is the head of the family, but the wife is the neck. And that head cannot turn left or right or do anything. So you can puff yourself up and say, I'm the head. But just know that the neck facilitates everything you do. And if the neck is not interested, you just, you know, it's not happening.
Right.
So I think there's room for compromise. How about Howard can interview the Satanists on radio, but he can't invite them home for Shabbos dinner?
No.
I think the message I got was pretty clear. I don't think there was much room there for misinterpretation. Dorf says, anybody who pays the station money, you will give air to. Look at Red Hill High School. Is he saying that Red Hill High School is Satanists? Is that what Dorf is saying? Because Dorf, I'm going to give their lawyer your phone number and, you can deal with that. Wow.
No.
And actually, for the record, I'm sorry. Before we do that, just to make it very clear, actually the radio station, out of interest, has very, very specific rules around what it will and won't advertise and on the station. So you would be absolutely amazed at that. And I certainly can't understand why there'd be an objection to Radio School. I think it is the most wonderful, wonderful school, which I wish I had attended. But never mind that. Sorry, Luba, you were saying?
I was going to say, I know it's not Women's Month, so I'm not doing a promo for Women's Month, but any man who goes against his wife's advice on any matter, practically, be it business or faith or whatever, sooner or later is bound to regret that decision. That's my experience. Call it discernment or whatever, but I do feel that women sometimes speak wisdom. We don't like to credit them. I mean, even look at poor old Julius Caesar. His wife kept saying to him, stay at home. And he said, no, I'll be fine.
Don't go, Julius.
But I think heed that advice if you know what's good for you, besides the fringe benefits that come with heeding it.
Right.
I would actually be fascinated to understand what diabolists actually believe in.
Well, that's really what I was thinking, is just to try and understand it. And I like the word diabolists. Howard, I think that's now really raised the conversation to a higher level. But Gail says, what a wonderful woman your wife is. So there we go. And Satanism is not.
So, Howard, if you've never been to, I mean, I'm sorry to say this in a morning show, if you've ever been to a place like a strip club, would you say you need to go there to know what's going on?
No, I don't think so. I agree with you. You certainly don't.
But you can see that on the internet.
No, come on. Put the internet aside. You're spoiling my argument, Howard.
No, of course not. I've never used drugs in my life. I don't need to use drugs in order to know, you know, to experience it and decide if I want to use drugs or not. No, of course not. Of course not.
I'm listening to what he's saying about it, and I'm saying there's nothing attractive there. There's nothing that makes me inquisitive to want to find out. Other than maybe, unless I'm saying I want to confirm that this guy's totally lost and totally wrong. But do I need to investigate further, to have a sit down with the guy to know that? I don't think so.
Hmm. I'm quite curious because it seems so counterintuitive that anyone would want to worship the devil. And so what do you actually believe in? I mean, I would imagine it's just, in my worldview, so bizarre, so different to everything that I'd understand. I'd like to hear someone explain to me, like, how could you actually do this?
Would you encourage, let's say, the what do they call it, that the actor is, all the American, the Church of Scientology?
Oh, look, I've read lots about the Church of Scientology. I think it's fascinating. Bizarre and fascinating.
Completely bizarre. Completely bizarre. Yeah.
But fascinating nonetheless.
Yes. Yes. So, Nati, you have been way too quiet. I'm not letting you get away with not giving us your view.
So I think it's quite clear that we all see the danger in giving these people airplay because it would sort of legitimize their cause, which I think a lot of us think is wrong. But I must say that Howard, I think both Howards and I are very curious at the same time. But as Luba said, just because you're curious about something doesn't mean that you have to go out and explore it. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, it really is interesting, and I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 0618951019. Dov also asking, is it relevant to what God looks like, what color God is? Like, I don't know. I've never been bothered by it. You know, this whole thing about God being a man, God being a woman, God being, black, white, something in the middle. Who cares?
I have a simple view. My simple view is it goes back when you read the Torah, and it simply says that you will not fashion anything to try and create the image of God. That's number one. And number two, quite often scripture says no one's seen him. And I think for Moses, who got up on a rock, and God says, look, I'll walk past. So nobody knows. So I always say we're arguing about what we don't know. So there's nobody who can argue and say, is this, isn't that, he looks like that. So, but there's a clear injunction that don't try and make any image. So I leave it there and I say no. So for me, the way I would practice my Christianity is I wouldn't even use a crucifix with somebody on it, because that's a depiction. So if you want to look at a cross, fine, just have an empty cross. So for me, the image is unimportant. It's actually, don't go there in any form or shape, and don't even worry about what you may or may not look like.
I think a lot of people I think a lot of people are just nervous about perpetuating the white savior complex. That basically it's only white people, that white people are superior to black people, and that only they can save you from whatever situation right. you're in. I think that is what people are nervous about.
Interesting that. That is a fascinating thing.
I can't help thinking that
Jews are white.
What's that again, Luba?
It's premised on the idea that Jewish people are white. And I think it's particularly an experience that if you look around South Africa, and most people will then say, well, Jews are white people. They come from Europe. And I think that's the issue. And I always say to people that if you go to the Middle East and you go Absolutely. To Israel and you yeah. see yeah. a slightly darker skinned Jew, then that argument falls flat. But in our experience, if we have mostly Jewish people who had, let's say, lived in exile and who may appear lighter and appear closer in skin color than right, a right. typical, let's say, person from Europe. And I think that's where it gets grounded from.
Right. Yeah. And in fact, because, and that of course is a complete fallacy that you're referring to. A huge number of Jews are not white. There were 800,000 Jews, at the time of Israel being declared a state that were thrown out of Arab countries. None of them were white in the sense that we know that. My mother-in-law also now weighing in on the conversation. She says your wife is amazing and wise. So there we go. So I definitely can't argue with this anymore. I think that's put paid. We might as well not have had the whole show today debating it tonight. I should have just asked my wife and mother-in-law.
Howard, and save all the trouble.
No, but Lupa, I have questions for Lupa, because when he says we can't create an image of God, he keeps on referring to God as him. Do you have any problems with the idea that God necessarily isn't a male?
Well, simplistically, I would say when I read the Bible, the reference is usually he, not a she. Mm. So that's simplistically, I take it on that view. So, but is God a human being like me? I don't necessarily think so. So I just think, just like we might refer to as certain countries as she, we might refer to a boat as she. Generally, the accepted standard is you refer to God as he. And right. and that's, you know, I don't find a she in the Bible referring to God. So I'm not saying that's definitive, but I'm just saying that's the established.
Yeah, it's so interesting because to me, as you said a little bit before, is whatever it is, because, that's where we are unfortunately going to have to leave it. It is 8:56. I'm Howard Feldman, Luba Mayakisa, Howard Saxton. Thank you for a fascinating conversation.